There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Oh boy, week one almost in the books. Two games to go. I'm Wendy Nix, Chris Mortensen, Ryan Clark, Tim Hasselbeck. This will be our Monday crew each and every week, so get ready, gentlemen, I use that loosely, to overreact, okay? Because that's what we do. But we'll start with this. Wow. From Pittsburgh to Oakland to New England, what a long, strange trip it has been. After a brief and disastrous tenure as a Raider, Antonio Brown released on Saturday, securing a one-year deal worth at least $10 million from the Patriots. Shortly thereafter, they've since added an option for 2020 worth $20 million. Both Patriots and Steelers alike had comments, or perhaps better noted, lack thereof, about Antonio coming to Foxborough.
Yeah, I think everybody's excited to add, you know, great players. It helps everybody when, you know, you have great players that are sharing the burden of a tough football season. So I think, you know, like anything else, you know, whether it was Josh last year or Phillip, when he got here a few years ago late, and then, you know, this year Antonio, you know, how much can you learn and process and get in here, and we're all going to work hard and try to get up to speed as fast as possible.
Antonio's going to figure out his own way, just like everybody else had.
I'm not specifically worried about anything relative to Antonio Brown. I'm worried about the guys in that locker room and the quality of our execution and what we did or didn't do. Antonio's been off our team for a number of months. We moved on from that stuff in March.
Ben, your thoughts on Antonio Brown joining these guys now?
Whatever.
Mike Reese joins us now from Foxborough, and we'll start, of course, with the latest on Antonio Brown as he gets set, Mike, to join the Patriots.
Well, Wendy, Antonio Brown arrived here at the facility at 6:58 a.m. this morning. One reason we know this, his official Snapchat account. He posted a picture right in front of the facility with that time on the picture, and it sparks an obvious question. I mean, we know Antonio Brown loves social media. We know all about the Patriots' button-down culture. How will those two things mix? Bill Belichick having nothing of it. Over the last 2 days, he is not commenting on Antonio Brown, saying the signing isn't even official. So check this out. A little bit behind the scenes, a conference call this morning with Bill Belichick. I had a little Q&A with him when I asked him about players and social media.
Many players around the league are engaging on it, and what they do is often reflected on the teams that they play for. So I'm curious how you manage that with all your players to ensure it doesn't compromise what your team goals are.
Well, I mean, that's such an important part of my life that you know, I really don't put a lot of time and thought into it. I don't even know what they are. But, you know, collectively as a team, we always try to do what's best for the team, and we'll continue to do that.
Wendy, did you feel that pause? I almost thought I lost him on the conference call there. Antonio Brown's signing should be official at about 4 o'clock Eastern time today. That's also the time that reporters should be in the locker room, although Brown isn't expected to be available to speak with reporters.
I would guess not, Mike. No, the pause is priceless. And you know what else lost in this shuffle with all the news about Antonio Brown is Josh Gordon's return for the first time since his suspension. What did he have to say after his debut?
Well, Wendy, it was an impressive debut, and it probably would have been the headline story if not for Antonio Brown. The 3 catches, 1 for a touchdown to give the Patriots that early 7-0 lead. And I asked Gordon after the game, how are you doing? This is the first time, Wendy, we've heard from him since he came back from his suspension. He said, I'm doing very well. I'm extremely filled with gratitude every day and just enjoying myself. Coming into this building and doing what I love to do, there's nothing better than this. Honestly, and Wendy, it's a little hard to put your finger on it, but there was something different about listening to Josh Gordon after the game. It seems like he's in a very good place right now.
Well, we certainly hope so, and hope that's able to be continued more from a personal stance than even from that of football. But listen, we're going to shift gears. We have to talk about Antonio Brown. It's all we talked about, I think, for the last week or so. Eventually that will stop. But I think it's the same question everybody's asking today because we're all aware of how things are done in Foxborough. So here on this Overreaction Monday, I mean, does it get any better than overreacting about Antonio Brown? I don't think so. Antonio Brown will get in line with the Patriot way. Is that an overreaction or not, Ryan?
It's not an overreaction.
And to say he will.
To say that he will get in line, because when you look at Antonio Brown, the reason everybody was so mad at me and they all thought I was wrong is because he had the world fooled, right? We saw the smile and the charisma and the personality. We also saw what a great player he was because he understands how to get along when he wants to. He understands how to get what he wants. And we saw it a little bit with his social media interaction after Ben said it ruined a friendship. And he said, never friends. I was trying to get my ends up. What that said to me was he understood how to play the game, how to move within the organization, within the team, to get the things that he wants. He understands what he has to do to perform in New England. He understands how he needs to work in order to get the ball. The one thing about Antonio Brown, when he wants to be on time and at the meetings, he is. When it's time to work on football, he's there to work, and he works hard. He understands those things. And also, if you watch Tom Brady and Josh Gordon last year, he forced the ball to him in some situations to make sure he got his attempts and opportunities at the ball. He will also be a big part of making Antonio Brown comfortable as far as the field is concerned.
And I think that will happen. It's an overreaction for me, though, in terms of Brady trying to get him involved at times. And the reason I think it's an overreaction is in New England, I feel like you have to earn the trust to feel like you belong and you are part of the Patriot way. And I don't think that you can fake it there. I don't. I think that you, in order to kind of be in the circle of trust, you have to be okay with another wide receiver getting targeted twice as much as you, having more production than you. You've got to be okay with that when your team wins. I don't think Antonio Brown's wired that way. I think he's wired too selfish to be okay to watch Julian Edelman have a game where he has 11 catches and Antonio has two. And Josh Gordon scoring two touchdowns and he doesn't score any. I think that'll bother him. And we've seen in New England, that's just what happens. There are weeks.
New on NFL Live from our Jets reporter, Rich Cimini. C.J. Mosley having an MRI later today on an injured groin. Quinnen Williams in a walking boot. Head coach Adam Gase says neither likely to practice on Wednesday, would not go beyond that. And then from our Ravens reporter, Jameson Hensley, John Harbaugh says it's a possibility, more than a probability, when asked if CB cornerback Jimmy Smith with a knee sprain could be placed on IR designated to return. Well, despite all the hype and hyperbole, the Cleveland Browns looked anything like the potential Super Bowl contending team many suggested they would be. The Titans manhandled the Browns 43-13. Then they headed out of town amid some hype of their own. Here's the reaction postgame.
It's extremely difficult. You know, anytime you get something going, you shoot yourself in the foot. That was our big problem today, not being able to build on positive plays. And, you know, like I preached last week, was trying to eliminate the negative ones. And that's exactly the opposite of what we did today. And that falls back on me.
They sleep on us every year. What's new? I mean, that's a question you already knew. But we like being under the radar. They were who we thought they were. If you want to crown them, crown them. They still got to play football. Today we showed we play better football.
Good lack of playing time in the preseason have something to do with it?
I don't ask you no question like that.
Okay.
It was not the result we wanted, period, but it was amazing. Step on the field. I know there's been losing around here, but that's not what we're here to do. So we just got to have everybody stick with us, the fans as well. And this team has to come together, and we just got to play better.
Well, overreaction Monday, and no situation sets us up better than this, probably because the expectations were so high. That's some of that's on our end, of course. But again, Overreaction Monday, Mike Tannenbaum joining us now, just in time for the good stuff. The Browns aren't who we thought they were. We'll all channel our inner Denny Green. Overreaction, Mike, or no?
I don't think it is. I always had concerns about how they were constructed. Specifically, you look at their offensive tackles, Greg Robinson and Chris Hubbard. One of the game-changing plays yesterday was the matchup against Cam Wake when they gave up a safety. Their offensive line is a big question mark. They lost their best offensive lineman in Kevin Zeitler. So while they've done a remarkable job with their skill players and their defensive front seven in particular, I have concerns about their offensive line. And when you look at their quarterback, Baker Mayfield, since the start of 2018, is tied for the most interceptions in the league with Ben Roethlisberger. So he's young. He has a ways to go. But I'm concerned about the offensive line.
Yeah, I'm saying an overreaction because I looked at this team and was like, yeah, they're assembling talent, but that doesn't make you a good team. And I know that sounds like coach speak, but the reality is I think people looked at him because Baker threw, you know, all those touchdown passes a year ago. They kind of put him in a class with guys like Ben Roethlisberger and other guys that are playing at the position. And I think you need to do it over a more sustained period of time and a longer period of time to kind of be in that type of class of guys. And so when I look at them, I just don't see them with a first-year head coach having to play. Just think about, you know, just two teams in their division between the Steelers and the Ravens with guys that are seasoned head coaches that know how to win football games.
I completely agree with everything you said, but I do think it's funny because we're like, oh, it's not an overreaction because I didn't think that. It's not an overreaction.
Well, I didn't. I'm on record of saying I was not. Delaney Walker and I, okay? I wasn't crowning them, Wendy.
Oh, you were crowning. Okay, so it's not an overreaction because we were all right anyway. Ryan, what do you say?
No, I think it's an overreaction and not because I didn't think that they were going to be good. It's an overreaction because it's still early. I do agree with Mike in the sense that you understood the offensive line was a place that this team was unproven, that this team could be hurt. But I do expect that for them to get better on the outside. I expect for Baker Mayfield to be better in the future. And I think Steve Wilkes will understand how to get this defense to play better football than they did last week. This is the big week, right? Everybody talked about the implosion that would happen if this team didn't play well, if the principals didn't do a good job. Well, now we get to see them going into the next week against the New York Jets in prime time, right, and what they'll do. And the one thing I do like from the post-game comments is two guys who are normally, or who we have pointed to the whole offseason as possibly being personality problems if things didn't go right, said the right things after the game. And that's Baker Mayfield, yep, and Odell Beckham Jr. So now we look to see what it looks like on the field next week.
I think it's an overreaction. I do think they are going to be contenders, playoff type of contenders. Listen, that offensive line that Mike talks about, they did lose Kevin Zeitler, the guard, to the Giants in that trade for Odell Beckham Jr. But Greg Robinson played very well last year when he got kicked out of the game yesterday.
Kicked out, huh?
And they had the injury. Yeah.
Kicked.
Yeah, exactly. And the guy who replaced him got hurt. They were shuffling that offensive line around, and that thing just unfolded. The discipline problem, 18 penalties, is on Freddie Kitchens.
Goes back to the head
That's
coach.
That's got
to
get cleaned up.
Yep.
But this team is talented. James Campen is a good line coach. I think they'll get their act together and make a run with the Steelers and the Ravens.
But more, let's keep something in context. They had protection problems at home. Wait till they go on the road. Ryan, you referenced next Monday night. That crowd will be in a frenzy at MetLife. So if they struggle protecting at home, imagine what it's going to be like with crowd noise on third down.
I think they'll win the game.
All right. We're not even picking yet. Yeah, you can go ahead, Mark. It's fine.
Yeah,
we're
just
winding down.
That's next week.
That's right. We got two to go. Listen, I have a feeling we're going to have some unanimity here, but we'll see as we move on to the Cowboys because Jerry spent a lot of money. There were a lot of contracts, a lot of mouths to feed. He's done a lot of that with the exception of his quarterback, but he says that's imminent. So I'll say this on Overreaction Monday. Dak Prescott proved he is worth the big contract, the big money that appears to be headed his way, Mike. Overreaction?
Absolutely not. I've been saying this for months. What are we waiting on, Jerry Jones? Like, for 20-plus years, I've been trying to get high-character, durable, productive, talented, winning quarterbacks. This guy checks every box. And let's go back to yesterday for a minute. New play caller in Kellen Moore. They were unstoppable. I love what they were doing in terms of the matchups. They have a great offensive line. And I think two statistics paint a great picture about Dak Prescott. He has the 9th best interception percentage, 1.7%, which is a top 10 number. And he's led the NFL in rushing touchdowns since he's been a starting quarterback in 2016. So that tells me he could beat you with his arm and his legs. And now you have Amari Cooper for a whole season. I think the Cowboys strategically made a mistake. I would have taken care of him before Jalen Smith, Lyle Collins, Zeke Elliott. It all goes through the quarterback. I know Zeke's a great player, but quarterbacks are really hard to find. I think what we saw yesterday was just the start of a really great season for him.
I agree with Mike on this. You mentioned check every box. I think there's some people that have been a little uneasy and say, okay, well, what kind of quarterback is he? Mm-hmm. The truth is, he's been awesome at quarterback. You referenced the numbers in terms of where he is, in terms of protecting the football, throwing touchdown passes, and being efficient in an offense that really before Amari Cooper, he didn't have a ton of talent around him outside of running back and the guys up front. But I think it goes beyond that in terms of here's a guy that literally has been the biggest bargain in sports.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He made 620 or 630 right. grand last year.
Really.
He's a starting quarterback for the most valuable franchise on the planet. He has earned this. He deserves it. And I think he's waited too long for it. Right. And I hope that he makes it more expensive for Jerry because he's done everything, showing up to camp, not being a problem, being a leader beyond that. And so he has. He's checked every single box every year he's been the starting quarterback.
And you're right. It's not just the football. I mean, I think the Cowboys are the most valuable sports franchise, literally, that
yes,
there
are.
There
right.
is.
They are.
Which is a selling – it's not an overreaction. I'm on board. He's worth his contract, whatever he gets. It's not an overreaction because not only has he been underpaid, but this is a guy – Tom Shaw is a renowned trainer, and he used to work with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And he also trains Dak in the offseason when Dak is not at the facility. The guy he told me that reminded him of Tom Brady the most since he's been training at quarterbacks and other athletes. He's not a quarterback trainer, but he says Dak Prescott. He goes, his leadership ability is off the charts. Now, what's interesting is Stephen Jones, the vice president of the Cowboys, said today on his radio show, they're hoping that he kind of recognizes what Brady has done for the Patriots and take a little bit less money to keep that good team
he's
around
been
him.
Taking
yeah,
less
he's
money.
Been doing that.
And they've never done that.
And, by the way, and I'm thinking he's already taken less money and he is worth can get from with his agent, Todd Franz.
It's not an overreaction. He didn't take less money. He was drafted probably around where he was supposed to be drafted.
But he hasn't complained about getting less money.
Right. And he's outplayed that. And
correct.
So now,
quietly,
he deserves to get what he's earned. Because this won't be a contract he's getting because you just want to give away money. He has earned this contract. Another thing I'll point to for Dak Prescott is he's really played well when pressure was on. Right. Mm-hmm. You come in, you have to replace Tony Romo. This guy is a legend in Dallas. You're a fourth round pick and you play out of your mind. And then there was a little lull and it could have been because he didn't really have a lot around him. Then you get Amari Cooper and it's like, OK, prove to me you can be the guy. And he does. He starts to carry this offense. The passing game actually becomes more efficient than what the run game was. In the playoffs, it was Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott with the big play against the Los Angeles Rams and not Ezekiel Elliott. And now look to the first game this year. You don't want to give me a deal. You pay all of these guys around me, Jalen Smith, Lael Collins, Ezekiel Elliott. So now I have to go out and prove that I'm the guy that deserves the money. And look what type of game this guy plays. Look what type of production you get from Dak Prescott. That's the quarterback I want. Now you're going to have to pay the Piper, though, because there are no hometown discounts.
Tell Jerry, hey, let's talk after the year. I don't want to be distracted.
Yeah, listen. I'm not worried about it. Let's circle back. Yeah, you don't want that, Jerry. Quarterback Nick Foles, by the way, his debut for Jacksonville lasted less than a quarter. Unfortunately, he suffered a broken clavicle when Chiefs defensive tackle Chris Jones drove him into the ground. It was on a 35-yard touchdown strike. Foles had surgery today. He is out for the foreseeable future. And it is just a real change of course for the Jacksonville Jaguars and, of course, for Nick Foles. So how about this one? Overreaction Monday. The Jaguars are done. We're going to keep it simple, Mike, with that one. Yes or no?
That is an overreaction. And here's why. The old axiom, to win games, you have to be able to control the game. Can they do that? Yes. Leonard Fournette and a really good defense in particular, a really good defensive line that I think will get better with Josh Allen. And look, Gardner Minshew led the nation in passing last year, and yesterday was 88%. Yep. And again, it was only one game. But they can still win a lot of games with that formula of running the ball, not turning over, and play good defense. Their next two games are against both the Texans and the Titans. So we'll know a lot more about this team in 3 weeks, but it's two division games, and they could turn this around pretty quick, but they have to make sure that they don't turn the ball over, and on defense they have to tackle better than they did yesterday.
Yeah, I'll say it's not an overreaction, and I know how valuable Nick Foles is supposed to be, but Minshew came in and played 22 out of 24 he completed, threw two touchdowns, didn't have a lot of penalties with the offense. The game operations went on as usual. They did trade for Joshua Dobbs from the Steelers today, but he's there to be Minshew's backup. And I think this division, and we know it's deep. Colts showed you they can play. We know what the Titans did, and we know what the Texans, we think they can do. But I think that they will be in this mix until Foles comes back off IR.
Man, this thing over. And it's not an overreaction, and we can go on cancel Christmas. And I think
come on.
The huge thing was this. Nick Foles was obviously supposed to, and he was going to, in my opinion, stabilize a position that they felt was the one thing they needed to get over the hump after being in the AFC Championship 2 years ago. But we are missing, this isn't the same team. This isn't the dominant run team that they were that year. This isn't the dominant defense that was shedding people out and turning the ball over at an explosive rate, putting pressure on the quarterback. They are different now. They need more from the quarterback position than they needed 2 years ago to get to the AFC Championship. This team isn't playing at that type of that type of intensity that they were. And when Tom Coughlin left New York, a lot was said about the way he kind of wore on players, the things that he wanted an organization to do from a discipline standpoint. This team isn't disciplined. Mm-hmm. This team is throwing punches. This team is saying things we've never seen from players that were in Tom Coughlin type organizations. This is a team that's not following that path or that type of strategy in winning. And so I don't think it's just about Nick Foles. I just don't think they're that good.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ryan. I think you look at them defensively, I think that you still have a selfish, undisciplined team. I know it was the Kansas City Chiefs, but it was also a team that didn't tackle particularly well yesterday. And so I think that we view the defense in a different way than they actually are. As for Gardner Minshew, I was impressed with how he came in and played. But I think there are physical limitations with him as your starter for a whatever it's going to be, and at least a 9-game stretch or 8-game stretch where, you know, he was so efficient and so good in college, but I think it was identity-wise offensively completely different than what Jacksonville wants to do and will do and quite honestly is capable of doing on offense. And so I think that ends up being the challenge for him. He just does you know, one of the nice things about Nick, and I think one of the reasons they were attracted to Nick, is when Nick has guys around him, and he can still push the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. Minshew doesn't have that ability.
But here's what we're going to learn sometime before Christmas, Ryan, is when you look at the AFC South. When you look at the AFC South from where we were 3 weeks ago, you know, no Andrew Luck, now no Nick Foles, and we'll see how it plays out. Jacoby Brissett played well yesterday. They lost in a tight game, but Marcus Mariota still has a lot of question marks in his game. So my point is, in this division this year, it may not look pretty. It may not be how they drew it up in July. But they have ways they can win the game, and they can control it, again, with a good front seven, and if Fournette can take the next step and really be a dominant running back.
He looks good yesterday.
Well, I think for all of these teams, it's not going to be how they drew it up in July. At least that's the way that division is shaping up. One every week, it's something. New on NFL Live from our Redskins reporter, John Keim. Darius Geis undergoing an MRI right now on his knee. The details and his full status will not be available until the MRI results return. And then from Bengals reporter Ben Baby, Zach Taylor said running back Joe Mixon will be day-to-day with a sprained ankle. As we continue here on NFL Live, the Saints are on the field tonight for the first time since the no-call heard round the world. But first, our rookie standouts, gentlemen. How about this? Marquise Brown, T.J. Hockenson, Terry McLaurin, and A.J. Brown each went over 100 receiving yards during their career debuts. That is a good way to start. And in the 100-year history of the league, it's the first week four rookies have done that. Wow. So if you're talking about a solid start, we had not one, not two, but four rookies to reach the milestone. Listen, they were part of the standouts. We talked so much about Antonio Brown and all the other things going on this week, but there was some good football. There was some sloppy football. It's week one. We're catching up. It's the new preseason. But there was also some sights and sounds you don't want to miss. So, without further ado, our Sunday standouts, if you will, and the best Hollywood moment, you know it's this, Lamar Jackson to Hollywood Brown over the middle, speeds down the field, the first career reception.
Here's what they had one Brown that got the call God yesterday, and it was Marquise Brown.
Well, let me ask you a question. When you're a DB and you're chasing him, like, how fast do you want to run out of the picture?
What you do is dive early. See, Mika.
Yeah, that was a good move right there. Mika's a smart player.
Now you're out of picture. So when they show this, you're no longer following.
It's like getting dunked on. Exactly right.
All right, the best effort. Case Keenum, a short pass to Vernon Davis here, hurdles the defender and gets through. And look, he's 35. Got some hops.
He could always run. This is a great play. Shows his athleticism and the emotion after. We know that he lost his grandfather recently. It was really awesome for Vernon Davis to make this play and honor his grandfather.
He was emotional as well. Best homecoming Kings, Cowboys and Giants, these two. Dak Prescott to our former colleague Jason Witten back at it.
And this is actually one of the things, like, hey, good job, Kellen Moore. Like you're designing a little naked in the red zones for that. But this one here, I mean,
so we really talking about though. We're going to put DeSean Jackson Jason Witten in the same highlight, like those things happen at the same speed.
We didn't make that decision.
It's been that kind of week. And here's your oh no moment. Kyler Murray's NFL debut drops back in his own territory and hits his right guard, but then, there we go. Oh no, that's what he won.
You're going the wrong way.
How do they know which way? Yeah, he was. All right, the best celebration, Vikings and Falcons, after Kirk Cousins scores. How about this?
This team does a really good job of celebrating.
Are you okay with that as being the best? That's better than, David and Joker?
I mean,
well, it's better because it's funny.
Okay. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's almost cute.
All right.
Come on, Nick and Tim. Best second chance, John Ross III, Andy Dalton to Ross White. Oh, dear. But that's okay.
Listen, it's a tough catch, but what you should really be looking at is the two Seattle Seahawks that almost hurt each other in the middle of the field.
Ross ended up having a good game.
First you don't succeed, you try again.
He doesn't play there anymore, does he? Mm. Oh, looks like it.
All right. So they got it done on the second try, in case you can't see. Ross takes advantage of the second opportunity. Best equipment stuff, Giants and Cowboys, as Witten cuts outside, his cleat gets stuck.
This has happened to me before.
And Antonio Hamilton,
have gotten tied.
It's not the shoelace. It's the cleat from somebody else's shoe that gets caught into the shoelace of another one.
But they had to cut it out, did they not? I mean, literally. Quite literally.
Hey, so somebody on the Giants tying his shoelaces together before they snap
the ball.
Extremely
hard as an equipment staff. They want to win. And when you're Saquon Barkley and your quads are that big, it's sometimes hard to bend down and tie your own shoes.
All right. Well, they got it right. How about this? The best explanation.
False start. Offense. All alignment except for the center.
Everybody but you. I love it. There was some confusion, Ryan.
Marquise Pouncey went out of the game, and my man said, you know what? I won't snap it too early. I love to stick to it.
I love when he took around. He turns around and is like, hey, guys, it was on two. Like, it was.
Not Marquise Pouncey is the point.
The no-look pass.
Mahomes to Travis Kelce.
Clearly, Brett Favre could have done it better.
You think?
But that's possible.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it can't work every time.
This is the thing. Now he's just showing off.
Right.
The only difference
is,
though,
it's okay to look.
You're on the fantasy team, dude. Like, come on.
Make it happen.
Like, come on. Like,
best
need catch, to hit him
Chargers and Colts. It's Phillip Rivers to Malik Hooker.
Oh, wow.
So here's
an
a play
early catch
I can only
here.
Dream catch of making.
Yes.
We're talking about no look. That was almost a no look one-handed catch. This dude is super talented. If he can get it right this year, it could be a huge year for Hooker at the Indianapolis Colts.
All right. Biggest surprise for you yesterday on the upside. Glass half full.
All I know is that game we just saw, the Colts. People thought the Chargers take care of business there despite Melvin Gordon not being there. Adam Vinatieri, if he has kicks, average extra points and field goals, Colts win that game.
And for me, the same game, it's about Eckler and Jackson.
Yeah,
listen, Melvin Gordon is sitting at home. He wants a new deal. Those guys together did a great job at the running back position, and Eckler wins the game with the score.
Maybe it was a turnaround for the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, as bad as things were, I think at one point I looked up and 7 for 21 for 49 yards. I thought, like, you lose games that are like that.
Didn't you say this can't work?
I know they didn't win it.
And then you say, you know what? This might can work.
I'm still not sure it's going to work.
But we'll
talk about
that.
They were able to,
fight back. That's hard to do, especially in your first start when you know that everything's going poorly.
Did you just call it the Tim Tebow effect?
Tim Tebow
Kyler to Tebow. Ouch.
All right. Well, the Dolphins suffered a brutal 59-10 loss to the Ravens yesterday at home in Miami. Brian Flores asked today about reports that his players were demanding trades after the difficult loss.
Yeah, I can't really speak to the accuracy of that one. We haven't received any information like that. So, I think, for us, we just need to focus on what's going on inside our building and not worry about all the, anything that's going on outside. I think we got to get better. From a fundamental standpoint, from a communication standpoint, from a really overall, and that's the goal right now. And, you know, anything that else that's going on outside, we need to just focus on what's going on in our building.
Really a tough spot for Brian Flores. He knew that, of course, overreaction Monday. But I'll say this, the Dolphins will go 0-16, and the real overreaction is this. Are they setting themselves up for really a historically poor season? Right?
This is not an overreaction. I don't know where this team wins the game. I believe they get an opportunity to play the Cardinals, and that could be the best chance other than when Jarrett Stidham starts against them in the last game of the season, because the New England Patriots have already clinched the playoffs. And I still don't think they'll be good enough to beat that New England Patriots team. When you look at this team, whenever a defensive coach takes over as your head coach, you expect discipline on defense. You expect a team that understands where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there, and gets there how they are supposed to. And this team just did not. We understood they would struggle from a quarterback standpoint, but to watch this team play, it did not look like an NFL outfit. And this is what I'll say about some of the reports that people were calling to get traded. Who on this team played good enough that they think somebody else would want them anyway?
It's not an overreaction. Because Stephen Ross, the owner, when he was interviewing candidates before they settled on Brian Flores, he sent the message to those candidates, there's going to be no pressure to win this year. You know, he didn't use the word tank, but we saw by their roster moves right before the season started that they are clearly tanking for next year. And that demoralizes a lot of people, the players in the locker room, the coaching staff, including the head coach, people in the organization who have to sit there and come in the building every day knowing that their team is the worst team in football, and I think it's very possible that they go winless.
Well, let's be clear though, Mort, to clarify one thing, and I agree with you. Obviously, the roster moves and the indications where they weren't trying to win this year, but the head coach and players should, I mean, they go out there to try to win.
No, they're not tanking.
But what a tough spot.
But they're not tanking, but the owner, the organization tanked.
I hear
you. Yeah, when they put you in a position where you don't have the talent to win, there's nothing you can really do.
Maybe we'll laugh about this in 2 years, and they're good.
No, Brian Flores. I mean, it wouldn't even be in his DNA to coach
quit
a football season and not try to win. They're going to try to win. They don't have the players.
Agree.
They might be the worst team in football. I think they get a win somewhere. You know, you look at, I mean, the Bills turned the football over 4 times, actually ended up winning a game, but 4 times in a game, they get to play them twice. You know, the Jets
lose that game,
you know what I mean? They have their own issues. So I think they end up finding a win I think when you look at the situation down there, Brian Flores, I think, Morton, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he signed a 5-year deal, which is unusual. Most head coaching deals are
four-year
deals. But I think there was an acknowledgement from the owner, as well as, you know, from any of the candidates, that this was a massive rebuilding project and it's going to take a little bit more time.
I have a question for you, though, Tim. Isn't there a big difference in saying there's no pressure to win because we know we're not trying, and there's no pressure to win right now because we're building for the future and we want to give you time to do that? I think one of those things, when you say it's no pressure to win because we're going to deplete your team, is a lot more disheartening than we're sticking with you no matter what. We're going to try to make the best out of the situation.
It better be better than yesterday, because I know the fans who are actually excited about some of those roster moves, because all the draft picks for the future, and we'll get to a ton of Loa and whoever else.
All 10 of the fans.
They're not happy about it now.
Look, it's
now that they've seen what.
And I think that the challenge is when it is so bad, to hold things together. It's miserable to go into a building after a loss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you string along, you know, 10 or more of those, that's hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, you hope. I mean, it's not good for football for it to never be in question.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, that's a tough spot. We'll see. Hannah, thank you. And you didn't miss it, but in case someone did, Antonio Brown is a Patriot. After a few days, but first this is Dan Quinn, said he's more pissed off than he's been in a while. I'm going back through film, not who we are. So there you go, reaction from teams who did not play well in their debut. Is that Antonio? That's Antonio Brown arriving, right?
Yesterday,
he arrives in New England. Listen, it's a little unclear exactly what the next day or two will hold, although it is apparent, at least so, that he'll get together with Josh McDaniels and try to start figuring out that Patriots offense, as we say hello from the Domino's pregame HQ with Mort. And, I mean, forgive me, but it changed every minute anyway. And he was there and he was here and he was going. Tell me where we are today with Antonio Brown.
Well, I do want to give Al Michaels of NBC Sunday Night Football a little credit because they showed that clip of him getting off the private plane. He says, good thing he took a private plane and they don't have to check his baggage because he's got a lot of baggage.
You know what? Well done, Al Michaels. That's a good line
right
there.
Well done by Al. Here's the thing about it. He'll go out and he'll practice. He's got to sign his contract. Well, he can sign it this afternoon now. But one thing about this, last Thursday, the Raiders actually sent him home. I'm waiting to see if he is going to file against a grievance against the Raiders to recoup some of that guaranteed money that they claim he forfeited. I think that's still in dispute, and I think we're waiting to see if anything happens there. Now, yeah, is the story over? Maybe Bill Belichick will send the message, hey, this thing needs to be gone. Let's move on. But that is his money, and I think that's one of the next steps. But for the most part, let's see how he integrates into the Patriots and the Patriots offense and how much does he get week by week by week.
The Patriots getting ready for Miami. They go to Miami next week, so we'll see. Tyreek Hill, meanwhile, expected to miss a few weeks with the shoulder, so get us updated here.
Yeah, it could be a few weeks, and as of a couple hours, I think injured reserve was not totally ruled out, which would be at minimum 8 weeks. So that tells you, think about this. When he had the injury, they sent him to a trauma ortho doctor at a nearby hospital. And the reason why their athletic trainer, Rick Burkholder, did that is because when you have a sternoclavicle injury, and this one was a subluxation, it sometimes can go backwards. If it goes backwards, you check for blood vessels, nerves, windpipe, esophagus, and they were satisfied that those things had not been totally jeopardized, but they had to put it back together, which tells you it did go backwards because they had that concern. So is this going to be a few weeks or is this going to be more?
All right, again, and of course, Nick Foles undergoing surgery today. We now know he's on injured reserve.
Yeah, and surgery went fine. Same collarbone, left collarbone. He had actually fractured with the Eagles in 2014.
All right, so he'll be out for the foreseeable future. Still to come on NFL Live, the 49ers only had two interceptions in all of 2018, but Jameis Winston managed to deliver three. Is it going to work for Bruce Arians and company? We'll talk about that straight ahead.
NFL Live.
Deshaun Jackson with a few bold plays of his own. A happy homecoming for Jackson in his first game back with the Eagles. He scored from 51 and 53 yards out. Jackson now has 31 career touchdowns of 50 or more yards. That's second in NFL history, trailing only a guy you might have heard of named Jerry Rice. To his former team, a tough start for Jameis Winston. The Bucs on Sunday, they dropped their season opener 31-17 to the 49ers, but with the chance to lead a game-winning drive in the fourth quarter, Winston threw his second pick-six of the day, sealing the loss. He is a turnover machine, it would seem, and it's picked up right where he left off, unfortunately, with three more. Jameis has now lost 79 turnovers in his career. That's the most of any player since he entered the league in 2015. The turnovers tend to come in bunches as well. Week one, Winston's 17th career game, throwing multiple picks. That is also the most of any player since 2015. We have a sample size now, and it's a little bit legit. So I'll say this on Overreaction Monday. Sorry, but Jameis Winston will always be a turnover machine.
This is not an overreaction, and it doesn't mean that he could ever be good. Because you look at some of those other names on that list, the Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger. But these guys find ways to make plays at important times in games. And that's what Jameis Winston hasn't done. When it gets to a point where they need a play, they need him to be efficient, make good decisions, he has not done that. And you can't win with a quarterback that you can't count on in pivotal situational football moments. And Jameis Winston hasn't shown that he can do that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ryan. And I, like you, it sounds like, kind of surprised at some of the other names on the list. I was like, okay, Blake Bortles, okay, yeah. Whoa, wait a second.
That
escalated quickly. I didn't realize I was going to see Philip and Ben on there. But, it's not an overreaction for me because when you go back and watch him even play at Florida State, I mean, he was reckless with the ball. Mm-hmm. When they were ahead in games, like he would have fumbles that were bad fumbles. It was, he seemed like a guy that just didn't or hadn't been groomed to have an appreciation for ball security. Yeah. And so while the interceptions are certainly, noteworthy, it's the fumbles in the pocket that are oftentimes worse because of where they happen. Mm-hmm. So we're at the point now where he's played enough football that we see who he is as a quarterback and how he protects the ball.
That's the old Bill Parcells saying, if somebody shows you who they are, you better believe them. So it's not an overreaction. You know, listen, Bruce Arians authored a book, his own book, called Quarterback Whisperer. First of all, Bruce is not a whisperer. And I guarantee you, he is not whispering in the locker room after the game yesterday. And, you know, Byron Leftwich is now the offensive coordinator, trying to make his mark. And certainly he's not happy with what he saw because Jameis Winston is a reflection upon them. Now, Mike Evans was not his true self yesterday physically, but it doesn't matter. This is Jameis's history. This is what he's done. And, oh, by the way, it's the last year of his rookie contract. And at this rate, he won't be back here next year.
This is a huge reason why it is the last year of his rookie contract. When you believe in the guy and you know going forward, this is the guy you want. You try to get a deal done as much as possible. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have not.
No, and they brought in Bruce Arians for a reason, for this reason. They've made certain moves with the hope of finding out exactly what they have, or if they know exactly what they have in Jameis Winston.
Let's look at that draft class. Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. You normally should know and be sure by now, to your point about being under a new contract. Yeah. Both of those guys could be in different places.
No truer words than Bruce Arians, not a whisperer.
No.
He's a lot of things. One of my favorite, but a whisperer he is not. Almost feel like they practiced that one, but maybe it's just me. Listen, I apologize. You're going to be on SportsCenter Wisconsin.
It's too late.
Please tease his appearance.
Well, of course, Ryan Clark, that's why I'm going to be watching. So
I definitely appreciate it.
Okay, we're going to make some game picks, and we'll do it on Mondays, but this week we have two. So we'll start with the first game. Saints and Texans. Who's picking first?
I'll go first.
You go? Okay.
I'm a New Orleans guy.
I'm a
New Orleans guy, and I'm going with the New Orleans Saints 27-17. I think this offense gets rolling. As Tim mentioned earlier, this defense is underrated. They've played great the last two seasons. I expect that to continue at home tonight.
I am not from New Orleans, but I'm still picking the Saints because I think they are the better team, and playing there is absolutely brutal. Ryan took 27-17, so I'm going to give Houston a little more credit. I'm going 27-20. I think a lot of points in this one. I think the Saints are a really complete team.
Yes.
I mean, against a couple of bad breaks is why we haven't seen them in the Super Bowl in recent years. And so, I think it just continues again this season.
All right, look, I'm not from New Orleans either. I am from the South, though, but in this case, that covers both teams. Yeah. So I like to be reasonable and rational. In this case, I just decided not to be. And I'm going Texans 21-17.
You know what's crazy?
Because I want to.
You know what's crazy? Yeah. Reasonable and rational. When I think of you amongst all the lovely things I think.
That's at the top of the
Those are neither of the two.
Fair enough. Well, then it's no change today. Right. That's my pick.
Okay, very good. Broncos Raiders. I'm going with the Broncos in this one. I just think way too many distractions when you look at what the Raiders have dealt with all offseason. And so 17-10, was that a defensive battle? Some sloppy football is what I'm expecting.
The Raiders, 27-17.
No way.
They band together. It's like, forget Antonio Brown. We're moving on our team as constructed. Nobody believes in us. They're going to act just like the Tennessee Titans acted after the Cleveland win.
I hope that's the case in a lot of ways. I love Derek Carr. Good for him. I hope I got the Broncos. It's been a mess.
Take your victory lap on SVP after you're right about that.
That's right. All right. And you're on SportsCenter with Hannah Storm and Keith Olbermann is next.